The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the author of his brand new book. It's titled In the Shadow of a Tree, David M. Molesky. David, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
You know, David, when I first got this book, I didn't know anything about the book, but as I'm starting to read it, I felt a little fear in me because I was wanting to take down a tree or two at home, and this book kind of stopped me. This book about your life, cutting trees, and that tree almost took your life.
Yes, that's an accurate summation. Let me just add a little bit of background information. I am not a professional tree cutter, but I was living with my family in Maine at the time, and in that rural part of the state of Maine, heating with wood as an alternative is pretty much a necessity because of the bitter cold temperatures and also because of the frequent power outages that we experience. And I, like many of the folks in that part of the state, would often cut our own wood supply. And I had cut thousands of trees, and I was doing this one with a hardy neighbor who was assisting me, and something just went terribly wrong, and I can tell you more about it, but that's in the book.
All right. Well, you know, when I'm cutting trees, I usually have somebody up in the tree or myself in the tree. We try to put a rope over maybe a large limb and bring it down that way. And you probably are in the woods cutting trees, of course, for fire. You just fell the whole thing. Is that correct?
Yes. I had the assistance of someone who did just that. They affixed a rope about a ladder length up, and this was about a 65-foot tree, and it was one of six or so that we were planning to cut that morning, and unfortunately, we never got past the first one. I did cut it. It landed on the ground, and it shook the earth underneath, as such a large tree falling often will do, and unbeknownst to me, the tree was still somewhat attached to the trunk, and further unbeknownst to me, there had a great deal of pressure that was built up there and tension, and somehow that was kind of lying in wait for me. As I took a step to finish the job and start cutting it up into sections, that's about the last thing I remember, because as the surgeons later described it, the tree basically exploded with something that was akin to the speed of a missile and went right at and through me, and let's just say it ruined my afternoon. It resulted in me ending up in a hospital bed in a wheelchair for a very, very long time, and my road to recovery was difficult, to say the least, as well as lengthy, but it's something that had a positive outcome eventually, and it gave rise to me writing this book.
David, you are a lawyer, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, so with your experience in doing different things, you talk about in the shadow of a tree wanting to get out of the hospital as soon as you can. Did your profession help you realize what you could do and what you couldn't do with hospitals?
Yes. I was constantly reminding myself when I was in and out of consciousness at the time, because I realized my stay there was abbreviated, let's say. The doctors had expected me to stay there for at least 6 weeks and possibly 6 months, and I didn't want to do that for a number of reasons, but my experience had told me all along that I had seen patients undergo situations where the doctors kind of took control and told them what their rights were and what they had to do, and they often have to be reminded, as I was reminding them, that the patient is in charge. And that was what I ended up doing, and I was able to make my exit from the hospital much more quickly than they had expected or wanted, but frankly, I think in doing so, it may have saved my life.
So what do you mean it could have saved your life? I mean, these are doctors and it's a hospital.
Yes, but just by way of reference, my leg on one side was shattered, and my arm on the other side had similar fractures. And those opposite side injuries were very severe. And about a year before that, coincidentally, a friend of mine, who was also an attorney, had undergone a similar femur fracture. It was not shattered as mine was, but he had broken it in a car accident while he was visiting in Florida from Maine. And I happened to visit him because I wanted to see how he was doing. And this was a couple months after he had initially had his injuries. And I saw him in the hospital in Orlando. I still remember it well. And I couldn't believe the difficulty and the pain he was going through just when he asked to have assistance to have his position shifted in the hospital bed. He was a strong guy, but he was helpless basically to move just because of this femur fracture, which was one of my injuries as well. Anyways, fast forward, he eventually got out of the hospital, returned to Maine, but I was saddened to know that about a year later, he died from complications from infections that he had gotten at the hospital.
How common is that? I mean, I hear about infections all the time, and in your line of work, you know, you probably have helped people win maybe some, you know, maybe some cash or whatever from hospitals because of viruses like that?
Well, I haven't handled cases like that per se, but I certainly know about them. I get an awful lot of reading material that comes to me on a regular basis about case updates and new developments and laws in different states. I'm just for further information, I am an attorney. I'm licensed in several states, and so I have a background that is maybe a little bit more varied than someone who's just practicing in one town or one county. But in any event, I think it's more common than people realize, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, with In the Shadow of a Tree, your brand new book, I believe that you talked in there about how many deaths maybe a year people die from trees, and I don't really hear that much about that.
Yeah, there was a news item when I wrote the book, and I can't remember. Do you remember offhand what the number was?
I don't remember offhand.
I have in my mind 300,000, and I think that was at the time. It may even be more. That was written some, that news item came out some years ago. And, you know, that in itself is something to keep in mind when one's considering having a hospital stay of short or long duration.
So, In the Shadow of a Tree, I know that you know, this is a memoir. And, you know, the unfortunate accident that happened with you. How much research did you have to do other than, you know, your experiences?
Very, very little. I presented some other information for sources that the reader can pursue to find out things on their own, such as comparative health costs and things like that, because that was certainly an element of my concern in staying at the hospital as well. Realized that my own health problems were something that led me to write this book, because I realized that my story and my experience could help others, and I've come to realize since that my book is having a positive impact on people in many different ways.
So, this is not your first book, is that correct?
That is correct. I've written six books, and my newest one, the sixth one, is finished, but it is not yet released, but it's soon to be.
What type of genre do you write?
Well, I've written four that are a series of humorous fiction, and they have evolved into funny mysteries. And the main character in those is an attorney, and that is at times incidental to the plot, but they are very, very enjoyable reads. They are humorous, and they make the reader laugh. My other nonfiction book is called I Remember Bethlehem, which is a nostalgic look back at Connecticut's Christmas town, charming little town in Connecticut in the northwest part of the state where I grew up as a boy. Now, just by way of information, it might be of interest to you and the listeners to know that there's sort of a circle involved in describing these books, because even though In the Shadow of a Tree is really my newest one, the events in it predate the writing of all the others. And if I can explain, my injuries gave rise to the ideas in writing all of the other books, but because the injuries and what I went through for those weeks, months, and years in recovering was so painful, I really found it extremely difficult to revisit those memories. and it took me a long time before I was able to put them in order and make a completed book out of it, but I'm very, very glad that I did.
So I guess because of your injuries and everything, you decided to start writing books?
Yes. There was a time when I was realizing that I was not getting better. I was again confined to a hospital bed and wheelchair for a very, very long time, and I was sort of going in a downward spiral. I wasn't healing, and there were problems that were developing, and I desperately needed to have a change of outlook. And I found that even in my frail and feeble state, that with the help of my family, I would be sat up in the hospital bed, if you can picture this, and gently transferred into the wheelchair, and then wheeled over to a table where there was a word processor and computer set up. And at that table, I would, with my one good hand, type out a few words or a few sentences. And in that period of time, which sometimes spanned just 2 or 3 minutes, exhaustion and pain would start to overtake me. I would be overcome by sweating and shaking and horrible throbbing, and the room, I still recall, would start to get a yellow hue to it through my eyes. And that was all a signal to me that I was on the verge of passing out. And so I would have to be returned back to the hospital bed, where I would lie mostly motionless for the remainder of the day. But during those hours and into the next day, I would think about those few words or sentences that I had written. And usually they had been something that was uplifting or funny. And it made me feel good. And I started to smile. And I hadn't done that for so long. And then I started to think about, hey, maybe I can write something else along that line tomorrow. And I firmly believed that those little efforts to start getting humor into my life made me smile and eventually helped me heal so much better than I would have otherwise.
Well, David, you know, they say that laughter is the best medicine, and I guess that the books that you wrote, a lot of humor in them, really helped you along your path to recovery.
Absolutely. I'm firmly convinced of that. I'm also very proud of the fact that because of these extremely serious injuries that I underwent, I was able to, later on, produce these works of fine art, these books, and I think it's a tribute to what people can do. And I want to share this with you and your listeners, because oftentimes we overlook the fact that when something bad happens in our life or something unexpected or negative, that that's all there is. But I want to emphasize that very often, out of something negative, something very positive may often develop and arise. And that's what happened with these, with my books, because honestly, I'd always loved to write, but it was almost as if a hand from above kind of slapped me in the head when I was injured and said, all right, you've always talked about it, now you have no choice. I have to tell you, too, that my opposite side injuries left my right hand intact. And people would often say, well, even though you can't move and you're so hurt, at least you can write. And I think they were thinking more like I could write a note or a memo for the next day, but it stuck with me. You know, I always wanted to write books, and I think that's what kind of got me started.
A lot of lawyers write books, more thrillers, more mysteries, so I guess that you're in good company here.
Well, yes, but mine are more humorous, and I have to say that the ones that I've read, they are, of course, well-written because lawyers are highly educated individuals, but mine emphasize the humorous fact that we all have to deal with in everyday situations, and I think that sets mine apart from a lot of the others. They're not gory. I have no profanity in them, but even the ones that are mysteries, they're certainly suitable for any and all audiences, although, you know, the vocabulary sometimes has some longer words, but nothing offensive.
David, you know, you mentioned when you were in the hospital or, you know, even in your room, they would take you to a wheelchair, wheel you to a table, you'd do some typing. Did you ever have maybe a recorder that you would record down things as you were in bed and then play them back and write them later?
No, I wasn't that technically advanced, I could say, at that time. And possibly it's because my voice was so feeble. Honestly, to talk on the telephone for just a couple minutes would leave me exhausted in those days. So it was not something that I really thought about doing much. But looking back on it, it probably would have been a good idea if I was able to.
How did your dreams play into this? Because I know that with the injuries you had, you were in bed a lot, probably sleeping a lot.
That's true. Along the lines of the healing process, I developed what I call my PDP system. It stands for physical, dietary, and psychological. And these were elements that I figured had to be addressed in healing and in recovery. And I've found that they can be applied to all sorts of other situations as well. But getting back to your question about dreams, I had had prior dreams that I believe were kind of foretelling as to what I was going to experience. And I'm not a mystical person at all, but I do delve in the book about the power of the subconscious and dreams as well. Now, related to the subject of dreams is visualization. And I want to emphasize that I feel was equally as important in my recovery as was humor. Because, again, in my frail and feeble and often painful state, I wanted to picture myself as I had been. So I would visualize myself going out and buying new shoes or new clothes and how I would look. And I'd picture myself standing tall and looking healthy and strong like I had been before. And then even more significant, I think, in my healing process was visualization. Imagine, if you can, someone in that state of injury and ill health, basically immobilized for most of the day. When I would close my eyes, what I came to develop was a picture in my mind. And the picture was of these tiny, tiny workmen. And I saw them wearing hard hats and overalls, and they would be carrying shovels and hand trowels and wheelbarrows. And I pictured them working with a substance like concrete. But it wasn't concrete. It was instead the substance that is used for bones to heal. And every day when I had the chance, I would close my eyes, and especially at night, I would close my eyes and I would picture these tiny workmen working diligently 24 hours a day, trying to repair my shattered bones. And sometimes I could even hear them say, "Wow, what a mess this is. We got a lot of work to do here." And I'd smile and even chuckle out loud. But even as I'm telling you now, I have to mention and emphasize that just that thought warms my heart and makes me smile, because that was such a great and important part of my healing process as well. You know, everybody faces conflicts and difficulties at some time, but there are ways that we have to deal with them, and I think I have some ways to help people in doing so.
With visualization, have you known about that most of your life, or was that something that came to you when you were laid up?
I'd known about the term, but I'd never had any chance to put it into effect, and I'd never really spoken to anyone who had, but probably because physically I was so immobilized and restricted in what I could do, I think my mind kind of shifted into overdrive. And so because of that, I was able to start using the powers of the mind in very positive ways.
I think that some people, especially coaches, tell you should have goals, you should write goals down, which unfortunately I've never done, but I have realized a lot of my goals. Pretty much, I mean, maybe I was using visualization at the time and never realized it.
Yeah, it could be. And another point I want to mention, just along the lines of what you brought up, is that gradually is a word that we have to keep in mind when we're trying to make improvements. There are a couple of sayings that I've come across over the years, and I used to repeat them as I was trying to have my own recovery come about. One of them is a simple one. It says, "Yard by yard, life is hard, but inch by inch, life is a cinch." And repeating that used to make me think, hey, you know, I'm making a little progress. I can move my foot or my leg or my arm a tiny bit more than I could a week ago. So that's progress. Another way to describe it is another old saying I remember, and it says basically that everyone faces conflicts and difficulties at some point, but when dealing with those, you can face them like a brick of cheese. You need to handle it one slice at a time. And if you can sort of downshift in your mind and in your objectives and realize that your goals can be divided and can be made much more attainable in smaller amounts, it helps you make great progress.
In the shadow of a tree, what was your wife going through? What were your friends going through also? Because I know that you had friends that would visit you when you were home.
Yes, I think they, from the friends' perspective, I think they couldn't believe what they saw and how quickly one's life had changed, because I had friends and clients who would come to see me, and both of them would kind of bite their tongue, I think, because they had no idea that I was injured to such a degree and how long the recovery process would take. As far as my wife goes, I think she's the heroine of the book, because she told me that all along she felt that I would get better. And mind you, I had an awful lot of setbacks along the way, and there were many times when I wasn't so convinced. But I think her optimism and her support were extremely significant in my getting better and standing tall and feeling strong like I am today.
In the Shadow of a Tree, of course, your brand new book, what do you want people to take away from this book as they read it?
I want them to get inspiration, encouragement, and the pathway to follow to help achieve their own certain goals. And those goals aren't restricted to health, although they certainly are directly related to that, but they can get the same benefits from this book and dealing with their career or life choices. I've helped a lot of people while practicing law, but I'm realizing that I'm helping even more people with my books and author talks now, and that's very, very gratifying.
Well, you know, In the Shadow of a Tree, your brand new book, give me a little bit of a taste of the last book that you wrote.
The newest one that hasn't been released yet, that's called Legal Fees, and that's a continuation in the series of humorous fiction, and it's a mystery. I use what's sometimes referred to as the omniscient observer. They're the third person, so by using that technique, you can tap into everyone's thoughts in the book. And I think that's a fine way to have the story come together.
So as you're doing the third person, you're looking at different characters have their own parts in each chapter, I guess.
Yes.
How difficult is that? What's the challenges of that?
I'm comfortable doing it, so really it isn't a challenge for me. I think the challenge is just completing the book, but once I get in the zone, so to speak, I find that as long as I keep at it 5 or 6 days a week for an hour or two a day, that I can usually make great progress, and that's what I did with this one. Now, you mentioned book. Realize that In the Shadow of a Tree has recently been released in audio form, and that, I believe, really is a great aspect to the story, because, for one, I provide the introduction, but the actual reading of the whole book is done by someone who has a lot of experience on the stage and in announcing himself, who happens to be my son. And there are changes in tone, volume, and pauses which make listening to the book akin to attending a concert performance. And I feel that because my son was able to, during his weeks of time in the recording studio, working on getting it just right, he was able to do so because he saw firsthand much of what I went through, and he was able to bring an added emphasis and perspective, which greatly benefits the listener.
David, if I wanted more information about In the Shadow of a Tree, other books that you've written, maybe a brand new book coming out, you have a website.
Yes, sir. It's very simple, dmmbooks.com. That's D as in David, M as in Mary, books.com, dmmbooks.com. And on just another note, I want to mention, I was at a book signing recently in the Tampa Bay area, and a lady came up to meet me, and she had read my book, and she wanted me to sign her copy of it. And it turned out she was a registered nurse. And she said to me, David, this book, In the Shadow of a Tree, provides a roadmap for recovery of any type. And that really impressed me, because in writing it, I didn't do so with any purpose to that extent. I just wanted to share my thoughts and provide assistance to people, but I didn't realize it can help people in recovery or all different other ways, and I wanted to share that with you.
David, if I'm interested in picking up a copy of In the Shadow of a Tree, where do I find this book?
Well, the easiest way would be to go directly to the author website, which is dmmbooks.com, and the books, either in hard copy or audio form, can be purchased directly via PayPal or other means, and it's all described there.
Well, David, In the Shadow of a Tree, I am sure that it has helped other people recover with things that they've had maybe not as bad as things that you went through with this great accident. I'm sure, like me, hey, you know, going out and doing something, maybe you think a little bit more about it. You keep that in the back of your mind, and that's keeping you safe. In the Shadow of a Tree, it's a real good read, and it's one that you're going to want to keep turning the pages till you're finished with the book. David, thanks a lot.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And again, the website is dmmbooks.com, and it's been a real pleasure to share my story with you, and I look forward to talking with you again.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with David M. Molesky, author of his brand new book, In the Shadow of a Tree. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.